Okay, good morning. Don't we love our pastor? He's got an amazing heart. He hears from God, doesn't he? Just for a few minutes, I was thinking of this verse in 2 Timothy, but I have the privilege with a team, a small army of others, to reach into the body and love and pray and encourage people in their faith, help them navigate through troublous times. And I had a conversation with an amazing lady in our church, and she said this statement to me, and I just cannot get it out of my mind, and it kind of goes right along with what Pastor just said. And but before I say this statement, I just want you to think that God always leads us to a place of boundlessness. He wants us to abound. And when you think about that thought, I just want to just quote this statement. This lady, Dr. Wanda, I think she's here. She said this statement. She says, "Not all movement means that there's progress. Not all movement means that it's progress." And as I was fellowshipping with her on the phone, that statement kind of hit me like a ton of bricks, because we can be very active. A lot of activity doesn't mean spirituality either, but I really began to think about what is spiritual progress. And I know the world has kind of twisted that word progress in a lot of different ways, but I thought of it like this. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, "For which I suffer," Paul said, "trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not bound." And that's the word that just really was in my mind, that the Word of God is not bound. It's moving. It's conforming us to the image of Christ. That's real spiritual progress, isn't it? We're being conformed to the image of Christ. And we're in a world today, a lot of restrictions. We're very conscious of our walls, a lot of walls that we hear and see. But guess what? The Word of God is not bound. The faith of God is not bound. And if we're just linear thinkers, or if we walk by sight and naturally thinking, all we're going to see is walls, restrictions, obstacles, problems, the reason why we can't do something. But guess what? We may be bound, but the Word of God is not bound. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And that word there is interesting, because it literally means we jump over our walls, or there is no restrictions. Isn't that good? Like, that's the Holy Spirit's ministry in our life. There is no restrictions. And as we walk in the Spirit, the devil tries to restrict us, but the Spirit has us leads us to a place of boundlessness or abounding, right? And I love this, because he goes on to say this. He says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful." Isn't that amazing? So, like, our past tries to bind us, or maybe a carnal word or a thought. But guess what? God is saying, "I'm going to progress you. I'm going to have you lean into me, and I'm going to cause you to superabound in me." And as we were in Frederick yesterday, the Frozen Chosen felt like a penguin yesterday. And it's true. People just looking at you like, "What are you doing out here?" But we had the most amazing conversations, and God honestly honors faith. God honors your faith, and faith abounds over sight. Grace abounds over sin. We progress for the furtherance of the gospel. And I love that. Not all movement is progress. So it really, that statement kind of said, okay, Lord, I want to kind of just check myself. Am I doing this because I want to do it, or am I doing this because the Spirit is leading us? And that's a good question, isn't it? Because we can be like chickens. Chickens can have their head cut off, and there's a lot of movement there, but they're dead. They're gone. Little mental picture there. Yeah, but God is saying, like, prayer. Think about prayer. Prayer is, there's not a whole lot of movement, but there's a ton of progress, right? Prayer brings the will of God to us rather than changing or chasing something that looks like the will of God. So I love our emphasis on prayer And I love this thought that God is always abounding. God is always moving. God is always furthering the gospel. And just as we think about the offering today, your money, your faith, your prayer, it's for the furtherance of the gospel. And I love what our church is doing in these days. I mean, it's amazing how you give. It's amazing how you assemble. I mean, this is a great crowd this morning. Why? Because we don't live in restrictions. We live in the boundless life of Christ. Amen. So, Father God, thank you for these thoughts. Bless our offering today. Pour out your Spirit on our families, our church, each person here, and meet the needs, we ask, of all things. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
All right. So, Lord, we pray for this ministry of your word today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Yes, I was thinking about how important it is for people to be together. And we know that because of the pandemic and various policies and things that people have gone through, we have seen how lonely people can be, and how limited, how introspective we can be, and how easy it is to withdraw. So I want to share this phrase, one another, in our New Testament. And I think we'll turn to 1 Corinthians 12, to verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. So there is a manifestation of the Spirit, meaning that the Holy Spirit is given to each of us, and by the Holy Spirit there is benefit. We have gifts of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit. When we are together, we fellowship in the Spirit, and when we are separate from each other, we also walk in the Spirit, and we pray for each other, and in our hearts think about each other and love each other. This is a family, or I like to use the word community. People need community. I thought of this diagram. This is like the government, and then this is me, my life. And what is it that is immediate and close to you, but your friends and your family and what you believe in your heart and how you interact and relate to each other? So you have like a group of people. Unbelievers have those groups of people. They have hobbies and recreation and their work and their business and their group that they know and so on. But our fellowship is not in the fellowship of the unbeliever, but it's a fellowship in Christ, in the Spirit. And there are gifts that operate in the Spirit. So in a way, what happens in the higher levels here, the government, we pray for them, but really don't live there, though we are aware, or we may be more aware or less aware, but that's not really where I live every day. I live with the people I and if I am alone, and this is also very possible that I'm alone, then my it's not healthy to be alone. There are studies on it, and what happens, I have one here, 1972, a researcher did a deliberate isolation and studied how he changed. He was meticulously documenting the effects on his mind over a six-month period where he shut himself into a cave in Texas for 6 months in 1972. He wrote that he could barely string thoughts together after a couple months. By the five-month mark, he was reportedly so desperate for company that he tried to befriend a mouse. Okay, so then there are Antarctic research scientists and stations, many studies regarding prisoners who are in isolation. And, of course, we can do your own research on that if you want to know more about it. In short, God made man. God made man, and actually, he wasn't perfect, but he was very good, very good. And then God said, it is not good that he's alone. Imagine making a man very good, but not good enough. He needed another person. And so God put him to sleep and made a woman out of him, and he did better. When he made man, he said, wow, very good. When he made woman, he goes, can't beat that. And from this, we must understand what our New Testament is saying about our new life, because our new life is community. And that is what we read here in this chapter, chapter 12. Go back to the text with me, verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Has anybody had anybody, a brother or sister, give you a word of wisdom? Has it happened? Wow. That was amazing. That was sweet. Notice, out of the list of gifts, wisdom is the first one mentioned. And if you lack wisdom, ask of God. And it's that which Joseph had in Egypt. And it's what Solomon asked for when he found out that he was to rule the nation. He asked for wisdom. And when Christ came, he said, a greater than Solomon is here. And then when we read in our epistles that the church is to pray for God to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's the key to our new life, is God's mind. And when in the little diagram there, in the community where there is wisdom, there is good counsel and a good understanding, and it helps us navigate in this world where there are a lot of dangers, a lot of traps, a lot of pitfalls, a lot of disappointments, actually a lot of suffering. And if I don't have a wise sister or brother, then I may suffer for that. But we're in a community. This is our community. And it's an awesome one. And when it's working right, let me say something. Not all church life is body life, or not all church life is spiritual. But we're talking about people that are spiritual, more or less. Not always, everybody, all the time. But we are told to assemble, exhort, encourage, love, forgive, and comfort one another. This is important. We're also told to kiss. greet one another with a holy kiss. Did I mention that in the beginning? I don't remember. I didn't. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Also, greet one another by name, because we are a community. And this is refreshing, encouraging. But there's another thing, another way to say about say this in this way. We could divide this into three parts. I could be alone, and that's me here. I'm alone. I could be with and have a social bad experience, and I think that happens to people quite often. They're with people, and they find themselves hurt by people. And it can happen in a church. Galatians 5 and verse 15. We can bite and devour each other. We could gossip, be in each other's business, know too much about each other in terms of our privacy. We could talk loosely. We could be critical or offensive. We could say bad things that are not encouraging and edifying. We could slander or lie regarding our brother and our sister. We are warned about this in the book of James in chapter 4 and verse 11. But the third one is this one, and this is body life. And why do we say body? Because in 1 Corinthians 12, which we're reading from, the apostle says that we are the body of Christ, a hand or a foot or an eye or an ear, and we're all different parts of the body of Christ. Christ is in heaven, the headship is in heaven, and we are his body on the earth. It's a really awesome analogy or a metaphor for the way we are with each other. Not a machine, but an organism. Years ago, I taught this in church planting and said that a car is different from a horse. In which way? A car is a organization of machinery, a muffler and a wheel and a windshield wiper and an engine and a transmission and all the parts of a car. And a horse is for transportation too. But a horse is an organism because the eye is connected to the foot. In a car, the windshield wiper is not connected to the rear wheel of the tire of the car, except just mechanically in the same machine, but organically not connected. But the eye, if you hurt the eye or the foot of a horse, or you slap it on its backside and it wheels around, the whole thing moves and works together. And same with us in the Spirit. We are in the Spirit of God. We feel things. We know when to say something, when not to say something. We are thinking about our faith. We are learning the doctrines of our faith. We learn how to answer, why we have hope. We also have feelings, like recently one of our sisters, she had to go to the hospital and she was calling her husband. Her husband had a heart attack in bed and died. And she just, you know, I met her this morning and we talked for a little bit. And it's a tragic thing, but we are the body. We care. We consider each other. We bear one another's burdens. We are a community. We are rejoicing with a new believer. Somebody gets saved and comes to Christ, and we're rejoicing together in that. That's a miracle. of grace. So we are connected to one another. But are we invading privacy? No, we don't want to, because of love. Love is like respectfully respecting each other and understanding that we have high regard for each other. We're not investigating each other. We're not policemen walking around like wanting to gather information about people. This is a new life, a mystery. This is where we are hid with Christ in God. And we know no man after the flesh. No, we don't know anybody after the flesh. We are 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 16. Know no man after the flesh. Your life is your life. But I'm there to be helpful or to help you, encourage you in your faith, in your love, and in purity and holiness in God. Isn't that amazing? This is powerful. It's what I needed. It kept me off of drugs. It kept me out of trouble. I ended up marrying a most amazing woman that also had this same heart in mind. I brought my children up, and now my grandchildren are being brought up in the community. In the community. Isn't that amazing? A community of love that the Bible tells us is what man is needing. What he needs is a healthy pat on the back. Quiet word of love and encouragement. Prayers. Support. Okay, go to the verse, please, verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. You know, I do believe that there are people that have been hurt in the church life here, and they don't want to, they guard themselves concerning another church or coming into a fellowship where I need a healthy fellowship of encouragement. But they cut themselves off, and they need it. You know, nobody needs criticism, but we all need love. Nobody needs to be reminded of their past, but it says love covers a multitude of sin. Proverbs 10, verse 12. I don't need somebody's opinion. You can get that all the time, all day long, wherever you go. But I don't need an opinion. I need a word of knowledge, a word of encouragement. I need wisdom from God. I need counsel from the Bible. And that's what this is about. Look at verse 9. To another in the body is faith by the same Spirit. To another member of the body, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Who's doing this? The Spirit. Is he using people? Yes. One person? No. Many. Different people are used by the same Spirit. Verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. God gives those gifts to various people as God pleases. So those gifts are operating in the community of faith. Verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. This Christ is the body. The body is Christ. No, no, no. The body is people. I know that is people, but God says it is Christ. Christ is in the world, in an assembly where we are drinking the same spirit. Read that with me, verse 13. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we are black or white, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, Russian or American or Chinese or whatever it might be, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. I got to say, because I'm drinking the spirit with you today, I don't have any thirst to drink anything else out there. I'm not a drinker. I'm a teetotaler. I don't drink alcohol because I'm drinking in the assembly. And this humor, this joy, this freedom, this wisdom, this has purpose because the Holy Spirit is in us and supporting us, leading us, encouraging us. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? That means the foot compares itself to the hand, and the foot will say, oh, I'm not the hand, then I don't belong. I don't belong here because I know the hand is doing so much, but I am only a foot, so I don't belong. And that happens to people. They say, I don't belong because everybody else is doing it. I don't belong because I'm not the hand. I don't belong because I'm a little different from everybody else. And God is saying, no, no. Drink the same spirit. And God has given gifts as he pleases for the edification of the body. There's something about this that is so important. Let's keep reading. Verse 16. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, why would the ear say, I am not, because I'm not the eye? They might say, the ear might say, wow, the eye is so valuable to the body. The eye is so unique. Nobody is like the eye. Oh, I am not the eye. The eye, wow, the eye. That's an amazing organ in the body. So unique. Nobody is like the eye. Therefore, I am not of the body, or I am not needed in the body, or I could never do what the eye does. And God is saying, no. I have given you to be the ear, and enjoy that, and enjoy being in the body, and enjoy what I'm doing in the body and through the body. And I want to reach the world with the gospel. And I want to raise up people in the Bible college. And I want to ordain men and women in their work and in their ministries to be effective and fruitful, and ordain men to be pastors, and I want to do that, and they must be raised up in the body, because every member must also learn humility. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? Do we have hands-on ministry? We have meals. People, the ladies minister many ways. We have the schools, the outreaches, the missionaries, the prayer meetings. We have the service, the small things that happen every day that make this work. Verse 18, But now God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And every one is important. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, verse 22, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Why are feeble members necessary? Because God ordained that he would use a weaker member. They are necessary. They are useful. When we see that, we see the work of God. That a weaker member is used by God in a critical way. Sometimes you see it. I've seen it through the years. How weaker members are so good for us. Can I love them? Do I care about them? Can I sit and be with them? Can I care and have respect for them? I must, because Christ did for me. So I must for everyone else. Then there is no difference. Secret pride in respecting people because of accomplishments or their background or their upbringing or whatever it might be. It means nothing to us that walk in with Christ and how Christ condescended and how Christ laid down his life for us, the sinners, and saved us by his grace. So this grace is what operates in our hearts and how we love and have respect for each other. And the feeble members, verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. I wonder what he has in mind. Maybe 1 Corinthians chapter 1, not many noble, not many mighty are called among you in Corinth. Though they had the status in society, but he doesn't say that has any meaning to us, but instead he says that these words. And I feel that way in our hearts regarding our work in our ministry in the world. It is so much fun to be a servant and to learn to be a servant and to care for other people, not because they can give you something. Somebody said, you should contact that person. He has a lot of money. It's like, are you kidding me? That doesn't sound good to me. That doesn't attract me. I'm not interested in that. I want God. What is God doing? If it's God's will, that's great. And by the way, I read 80% of pastors choose not to know who gives money in the church. I'm one of those. I don't know who gives money in the church. I don't know who gives big gifts to the church. I don't know. If you give big money, God bless you. That's between you and God. Thank you very much and keep it up. And do it as much as you can. We welcome it. But I don't know your name. I don't know who you are, and I don't care to know. Because I'm a simple guy. I'm a very simple guy, by the way. I don't manipulate. I don't know anything about it. I don't know how to do it, and I don't care anything about it. I just want to be a spirit-filled brother. Amen. I just want to be a brother that I want to walk with you and with us together, feeble or not, right? Poor or rich, whatever it is that we are, because we are members of the body of Christ, which is a great honor, isn't it? Verse 20. For, is it? For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. Schism means division. There would not be party spirits. That group of people always hangs out with that group, and that group is always hanging out with that group, and that is a group over there, and that group is not talking to that group, and that group is that kind of group, and that group is over there. There is no schism in the body when we are drinking the same spirit. We are just kind of like making caring about people almost in a blind way. Like we're not evaluating people in the flesh. We're not respecters of people in the flesh. We are not living like that. We are a unique community where people have a place because God baptizes them into the body. That's amazing. There's a unity that is unexplainable. This unity here, this is a amazing unity where they know no, there's a uniqueness and a fellowship, and Christ is between us. Jonathan said that to David, the Lord be between you and I. How great it must have been with the disciples, with Christ, and Christ said, I'm leaving. And they're like basically saying, you can't go. No, where are you going? We will go with you. And he said, you cannot follow me now, but I will send another, the Holy Spirit, who is just like me. And he will teach you and guide you in all things, and you'll have this kind of fellowship even after I am gone. You'll be loving one another, and wise, and caring, and connecting to each other in the Holy Spirit, and deeply encouraged. And it'll keep you, God will lead you on the right way, and you will be increasing with the increase of God. You will, you'll be growing and increasing. Go to the next one, please. It's verse 5, part B, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And that's where I want to finish. Care for one another. Synergy is the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their two parts. Synergy would be like, you know, a horse could pull 2,000 pounds. Another horse pulls 2,000 pounds. If you put them together, how much can they pull? Yeah, I don't know, 6,000 or something. The amount they can pull, the two of them, is greater than the sum of the two. There's a synergy. It's like a man and his wife. Like, separately, they can be productive, but together they are more than just two. A threefold cord cannot be easily broken. When we get married, it is God with us. You better make sure that God was with you. And you get married. And you don't just live with a woman, you get married. You go before God and you get married. And you get it right with God, and because you want God in your marriage. Isn't that good? Okay. So how about in the body of Christ? It's powerful. There's a bird in Africa that lives on the back of a zebra, and the zebra has two sources of food for the bird. The bird eats the ticks on its back, and the blood that the tick, you know, produces from the bite, the bird drinks that. But the blood loss, let's see, and does that for the zebra, the zebra does that for the bird. So, oh yeah, the bird is also an alarm system for the zebra. So the birds, a predator is nearby, the bird moves, leaves, and the zebra is notified of danger. They also, this bird is called the oxpecker, and it also has a relationship with the rhino, too. There are many examples of this in nature. I think in principle that you help me in ways that I cannot explain. I think your life, just like these relationships, how do we understand how much we benefit from each other? How much when we assemble, we go home, we drive home in the car and go, whoa, cool, that was good. I'm going to tell my boss about that at work. By the way, where I swim, I told the Coast Guard, I told the lifeguard at the swimming pool, you know, I talked to him about Jesus all at different times, and he looked at me up on the, and he said, I saw your morning devotional. I hadn't seen him for a month. He said, I haven't seen you for a month, because he likes to talk to me. And he said, I saw your morning devotional. You got to work on your singing. Okay, wait a minute. Hey, all right, here are some verses. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. James 4:11. Do not speak evil against each other or about each other. No biting and devouring one another. But what are we to do? We are to be devoted to one another. In Romans 12:10, honor one another, forgive one another, Colossians 3:13, greet one another, 2 Corinthians 13:12, encourage one another, be kind and compassionate one to another, and forgiving one another. This is Ephesians 4:32. I love it when there's no suspicion, there's no judging. Hey, we're not afraid, we're not withdrawn, we're not judgmental with each other. I love it when it's simple and clean and we're filled with the Spirit and we meet each other and we love each other and there's nothing between us except Christ. What a blessing. But I know how we are as people. We, in the absence of each other, we may put in that distance suspicion and insecurity and fear. And when we see each other, it may be awkward because I'm thinking those kind of thoughts. But no, we on purpose make the effort and love each other fervently long before we meet each other. But in our prayer and in our hearts, we have each other in our hearts. And when we meet each other, we express that love. We're going to have EuroCon online, but we're also doing a new thing. We're inviting the American pastors to come and be with us during that week. So we'll have evening meetings with the American pastors that week, March 8th and 9th that week, and then afternoon with the Europeans at 1 o'clock, coffee time with the pastors and so on in the mornings. What do we need as pastors? To meet each other often, forsake not the assembly, provoke each other in good works and love, and love each other, and submit one to another in Ephesians 5:21. This is another thing. Be submitted one to another, not independent, but submitted. But I don't mean just pastors, I mean every one of us. Let us submit to each other. Let's look for the opportunity. I want to be submitted to my brother and my sister in the Lord. Submit one to another. And then exhort one another daily, as it is called today in Hebrews 3:13. I need a strong pulpit. I need somebody who can exhort me. I need somebody who will challenge me in the flesh. I need a church where I can hear something that's going to make a difference. I don't want to just play church or play some game of some kind and go in and go out. I want my life changed. I want to be a disciple. I want to be a follower of Christ. I want you to hit me right between the eyes. I can take it. I want to be submitted to the pulpit and submitted to the Word of God and submitted to the body of Christ and drink the same Spirit. Then we, lastly, Romans 12:5. So in Christ we are many in one body, and each member belongs to one another. We belong to one another. I cannot tear away from many of my brothers and sisters that I've seen through the years. I cannot tear away from them. We belong to each other. We are baptized into the body. We belong. Like my finger belongs to the rest of my hand. And my hand belongs to the body, doesn't it? And if I'm a little part of this somewhere, we belong in a way, we belong to each other, don't we? That there's an organism, the body of Christ, that has made us one. So that's it. Okay. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, you are working in our hearts. I need a community, maybe a little group. Oh, wait a minute. Amen. Let me just say something else. I want to say one. Like, this is some people could say this is a big church, you know. They might say this is a big church, and I don't know anybody here. And, you know, I don't know. It's too big for me. And this is my word for us, and it is, you should have some friends. You should have a little circle of people. You should have some people that you can be with and hang out with and that you can talk and be personal with. You should have it. We have the pulpit, but then we have, like, in the body, we have each other, and we're all together in that way. But at the same time, I can't talk to all of you at the same time, and you can't all talk to me at the same time. So how does it work? We have our friends. That's all. We just have the group that I get to talk to. So the meeting is over, and then who do I get to be with? And I might say, I don't know anybody. I'm out of here. I don't know anybody. I don't have any friends that So I would say you need a word. If you have some gifts of the Spirit, you need to use them after the meeting, or before the meeting, or sometime during the week. You have gifts of the Spirit, you need a word of faith, love from your heart, a connection with somebody. And then usually it becomes two or three or four or five people. And then you're in the cafe, but you're having a good time of exchange, and you get to be, and it takes patience. Takes patience to stay and find your relationships with people in God. Because the work of the Spirit does this, but when I'm gone, and of course you have your own schedule, and however, I'm not saying you're free to do whatever, but by way of encouragement, build relationships in God in the church. We need you, and the body needs you. I mean, needs you and needs you and needs you and needs us in the Lord. And it's very good. Our churches, after the meeting, it takes 2 hours for people to get out of here. I mean, it is. It's like amazing. And I think it's very healthy. It is generally very healthy. And I thank God for that. But we are living in a day where I believe that people need to rediscover with the value of being together and the value of those gifts operating in the body, okay? Okay, amen. Let's pray one more prayer, okay? This is to the people listening that you've not yet made a decision. We want you, based on John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God. But it's a decision. It's a decision to receive him. To as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God. So today is an invitation for you to receive him and simply say, Lord Jesus Christ, I receive you. Come into my heart. Save me. Take my sins away. And save me by your grace. I believe and trust in you for that. Amen. Anybody saying that prayer, just raise your hand. The ushers will give you a booklet. God bless you.